precious name.
Hallelujah.
Men to give him. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you tonight.
Amen.
Thankful. Hallelujah, Lord, to be serving a Savior that is worthy. And I need to praise him. I was talking to Brother Paul earlier today, and he was talking to this Jewish man. I don't know where he was at, but anyway, he was talking to him, and he was talking about the tabernacle you're talking about. Anyway, Paul was saying, you know how it is, you get hung up on details of different things. And he said to this Jewish man, he said it meant a lot to him, you know, the tabernacle. And it reminded me one time, Leanna and I was out at the Clinton Library, and we was looking at, you know, all the different things that Mr. Clinton did while he was in office. And one of the things that was an agreement signed in the Middle East, I can't remember what they call it, but anyway, and it was a picture of him and Anwar Sadat. And I couldn't think of his name. You know, I was talking to Liam, you know, I said, I remember that, but I can't remember his name. But this man was standing over here. I didn't know who he was, you know. He would listen to it, and we was kind of taking it, you know, I was just kind of, you know, laughing, you know, really laughing, but I mean, I wasn't taking it too serious, you know. But anyway, he said, that's Anwar Sadat. And then he started talking about it, and he was a Jewish man, and he was talking about how much that agreement that they signed or meant to him. And I was telling Brother Paul, you know, these are natural things, but how much that means to them. And I was telling him, you know, we're spiritual Israel. You know, I was telling him, I said, you know, when this gospel, it's going to have to mean something to us. You know what I'm saying? It's going to have to, just like those people, you know, that their country, you know, they take it serious. You know, it mean a lot to them. And I was telling him, I said, you know, I know, you know, coming here like I did, coming here in these things I never heard before, the truth that I've heard about the gospel, about Jesus and what he really died for. And I remember saying that, you know, I felt like I was given these truths that I hear like, you know, on a silver platter. You know, I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. And I'm sure no way it could mean that much to me. But I'm telling you, it's going to have to mean something to us. You know, what we are hearing and what we are receiving, it's going to have to. You know, that's what I'm telling him. It's like it must. You know, it's going to have to mean, just like the people, you know, their land, their natural country mean a lot to them. And I think as much as we get, like Brother McDuren was saying this morning in Bible study, you know, after a while, you know, how we started out, surely by now, you know, we've gained some ground. You know, we love God more. We have more patience. We have a lot of the things that God has given us. Surely we have gained some ground. And eventually it's going to have to mean something to us. You know, we're not just here having church. We're not just here socializing, you know, but we're trying to worship the God of heaven that we're beginning to learn, that we're learning about. You know, I appreciate it. I want it to mean more to me. I want this to mean something to me. Oh, I'm thankful tonight. You know, I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm a part of this people. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. I appreciate you, God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. I praise you tonight, Lord, for your goodness. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Good to see Brother Coles and his son Aaron here tonight. And I appreciate them. I didn't get to make your meeting, Brother Coles. I heard it was good. And appreciate being among God's people. And the more I serve him, they sing a song, you know, the sweeter he grows. And I think it ought to be that way. I think it ought to get sweeter. The more we learn about the nature, like Brother Dorman said, his characteristics, the more we learn about Jesus and his life. You know, I mean, he came, you know, not doing his own will. He came to not please himself. You know, he said, but to please his Father. And, you know, we have to and acquire, you know, something you have to acquire a taste for. And I'm acquiring a taste for the things of God. I didn't just, you know, this can't be, although you have to, for the first time you hear it, you know, it is like, you know, it's given to you on a silver platter. But eventually it should become, you know, we're going to have to acquire a taste for the things of God, you know, and begin to like what we're hearing. And I sometimes feel ashamed of myself, you know, to be I've been here as long as I have. Somebody say, you've been here that long? I have been here this long, but I am thankful tonight to be able to hear and to have heard what I'm thankful for is to be able to have heard, you know, listen to Brother Tucker. You know, I know, you know, I've been here long enough to know that, you know, we was in awe. My wife and I, you know, when I finally came around, you know, when I finally, but really it was, I didn't see this. I'm sorry, I didn't see it. We was going separate places for a year, and I didn't see this. And I understand that, but I didn't. But I mean, when I began to kind of look at it a little bit, I mean, consider it. I didn't even consider it. I thought everybody was going to heaven. Everybody that confessed the name of Jesus was going to heaven, you know. But I learned different. And but anyway, I learned that. Although we was in awe with Brother Tucker, that was people that was not in awe with him. You know, I didn't know that, but anyway, I found out, you know, people wasn't liking what he was doing. But anyway, and that's the way it is, you know. And we got to hear this gospel by preached by him. And then, you know, God moved him on, and Brother Lineker came on the scene, and a different man, and we got to hear him. And somewhat different take on it, but it's still the gospel. And I don't know, some of that, I'm just looking back to a little bit because I can kind of remember a little bit. I forgot a lot of it. But anyway, I kind of remember my thinking, you know, on Brother Tucker. He was a pretty strict man. And, you know, he called names of service, and, you know, he believed in order, you know. And I'm glad I heard that, you know. I'm glad I heard a man that, even though, you know, the time frame may have been, you know, some had something, you know, may not have been what, you know, we've been here a little while. So things have changed in somewhat as far as, you know, God's time frame. He always had his time frame, but maybe we didn't quite understand it completely. But I'm glad I heard him, because he was serious about what, you know, what he was trying to get us to do. That he was trying to help us as best he could do. And then to hear, you know, Brother Lindgren, his teaching on the times and what God had let him see. I'm just glad I got to hear it. You know, I can look back on each, you know, and Brother Weininger, his dedication. You know, he hung in there. And I'm thankful, you know, that we still in a place where we can praise the Lord. You know, we still have a place to worship God. And people that are still hungry for God. You know, that's what it's all about, you know. This is not just about us, it's about God. And we're just trying to be his servants. You know, just trying to be workers in the kingdom of God. That's what this is all about. And it has, you know, it helps to have, you know, they talk about attitude adjustment. You know, we have to have attitude adjustment sometimes to help us to be able to walk this way, because sometimes, you know, not altogether easy. They say it's the way of a transgressors are, but it's not necessarily, it's easy when you begin to get, you know, trying to stop doing my will. Yeah. You know, when I begin to stop doing my will, it does get easier. Yeah. You know, when I stop trying to figure it all out and trying to do it myself and try to align my life up with God, it does, it takes the pressure off. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that we are in a place that we can hear things to help us along the way. You know, this is the journey that we're on. So I'm just happy to be here tonight. And I want to take up all the time. Appreciate it. But like I said, Brother Cole, we'll make room for it. I think the last time he was here, he didn't get to talk with you. Well, I'll make sure you get to talk, Brother Cole.
Man, I'll just take my notepad up here, but I don't have nothing on it yet. Hallelujah. I appreciate what Brother Talley said. That was very good. Amen. I was thinking about that a little bit, chewing on that a little. I want to be a laborer together with God. With God. Not for God, but with Him. Amen. I'll tell you what, there's nothing worse than trying to do things for God when He wants to work with Him. And as Brother Talley said, sometimes we get our will in the way, and God can't do His will because we're so busy trying to do our own. Thank everyone that came to the meeting there at our church last week ago Saturday. It was wonderful. We enjoyed it. Amen. The church people talked very good about it. just start looking through all the word where that word's used. And to my amazement, and you might think, well, Brother Coles, you're simple. Well, I'll share you something simple, and if you want something a little bit more stronger, maybe you can dig out a little bit more for yourself. But I was digging, and I read there in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve had messed up and partook of that forbidden fruit, the Bible says, and let me just read it exactly the way it says it, because sometimes I have a hard time remembering exactly how it words. In Genesis 3, it says, in verse 8, it says, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. You know, I've read that so many times, and finally it occurred to me that this wording, I've never quite heard it that way. They heard the voice of God walking. I've never read that before, where God's voice was walking. And I'm still pondering that. I'm still chewing on that a little bit. But God came walking in the garden. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. My sheep know my voice, Jesus said, did he not? They recognized that voice because the Bible says they hid. Adam and his wife hid. They recognized the voice. They had a relationship with God. They had a union with God. Because after all, Adam was made after God's own image and after God's own likeness. Made after God's likeness. Formed out of the dust of the ground. And God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And here, the voice of God walking in the garden. And I was reading that and I was thinking, you know, that's the kind of relationship that God had. And I'm talking about just prior to this circumstance of what happened with Adam here. He had a relationship with God where him and God communed with one another. Just like the Lord wants us to commune with Him. Every day. Every day we should commune with God and walk with Him. The Lord here is walking in the cool of the day. And they recognized that voice and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Amongst the trees of the garden they hid themselves. And the Lord called unto Adam and said, where art thou? They had that relationship where Adam and God talked with one another. Just like every day He longs to talk with us. And sometimes we're so busy with our lives that, you know, we don't take the time probably sometimes that we need to listen to God's voice. You know, sometimes we're so, and even sometimes in our prayer life, we talk so much and pray so much, and sometimes we don't shut up enough to listen to God's voice, to what He has to say. It was kind of amusing this morning as I was saying this, and all of a sudden I heard a noise in the church I didn't recognize. And we've got a water cooler in the back, but it's also got a little heater on one side of it to heat water up. It's one of those portable ones we got at Lowe's. Well, we got it back there, and I heard that. I didn't recognize it, so when I was saying, I paused and I heard that noise. I would have never had heard that noise if I hadn't paused. Just like sometimes we wouldn't hear the voice of God if we didn't pause for a moment. When you read the book of Psalms and the psalmist is writing these beautiful songs, and that's what they are, they're songs, he gets to a place and he says, Selah. In other words, he pauses to meditate on what he has just sung. Just like we should pause and meditate on the Lord and talk with Him. And so they recognized the voice of God. And Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid and I hid myself. He had never been afraid of the voice of God until he had messed up. But yet before this time where he sinned and he partook of that forbidden fruit that God told him not to. He had a relationship with God, a beautiful relationship with God, where God would walk with him, where God would talk with him, where God would reveal his mind to him. It's just like the Lord wants to reveal his mind to us. And he reveals his mind to us through our prayer life and through our reading of the Word of God. And as we read the Word of God, we find out more about God. We find out more about his plan. We find out more about what he desires and what he dislikes and what he wants us to do and how we are to please God. And walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, the Bible says, and how God wants us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Walking with God. Then I read another scripture. Pardon me if I'm just rehashing just a few things we talked about this morning. Here's something somebody likes here. I heard this testimony about the book of Daniel. Everybody loves Daniel, don't they, brother? Hallelujah. Brother Paul, was that you that day I was here and you were talking about Daniel? Because I know you like Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar made a big old image. And Daniel 3, he's so proud of that thing, he wanted everyone to bow down and worship it. But the three Hebrew children didn't want to bow down and worship it. And they got in trouble because they didn't want to bow down and worship it when they heard the sound of the music. And because they would not bow down to that image, and they had the chance again to bow down to that image, and they didn't bow down to that image, the Bible said that Nebuchadnezzar got very, very mad. He asked them, "Are you not going to bow down to that image?" He said, "Oh, King, live forever, but we cannot bow down to this image that you have set up." He said, "Our God whom we serve is well able to deliver us. But if not, we're still not going to bow down to that image that you've set up." And they heated up that furnace a whole lot hotter than they ever had done before. They bound up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the Bible said, let me see, in Daniel 3:21, "Then these men were bound in their coats, in their hosen, in their hats, and their garments, their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." And then, verse 24, something happened. "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king." And I want you to notice this next verse. It's powerful. "He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose." You know what they were doing? They were walking in the midst of the fire. They were walking with God. You say, "Brother Coles, you're playing on the words." Uh-uh. When you're walking with God, sometimes you're walking in fire. Sometimes you're walking in trials. Sometimes you're walking in hard circumstances. But let me tell you something. The Lord's going to be with you in the midst of the fire. "I see four men loose," Nebuchadnezzar said. "And they're in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt. They don't have no hurt." "And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." They had God in the fire with them. And they weren't hurt. Oh, the treasures of walking with God. Because when you walk with God, God will help you. though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know why? Because God's with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. I love to walk with God. Sometimes I veer off. Sometimes I get deterred. Sometimes I see something I want to veer off to. But I hear that little inner voice inside of me saying, this is the way. Turn ye. Turn ye. When you turn to the right or the left. Amen. That little voice will say, hey, stay on that straight and narrow. There is many that go in the broad way. There is many that go in that broad gate. Narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. So many people like to make it seem like everybody's going to heaven. Brother Talley, yeah, everybody's going. Bible says few there be that find it. Few. And that country singer, I like to refer to this one all the time. He sing that song. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to die. And he's telling the truth. I know he's talking about natural death, but let me tell you something. You've got to die a spiritual death if you want to go. You've got to crucify this old man with the affections and lusts thereof. You've got to crucify him. You've got to put him on the cross. You've got to make sure he's not going to be and bury that old man and become a new creature in Christ the Lord. Praise God. To walk with God. To walk with God. Then you see another man in Acts chapter 3 at the gate beautiful begging for alms. That was his livelihood. That's what he did every day. He was a lame man. Begged every day at the gate beautiful. Well, one particular day, as Peter and John were on their way to the temple to pray, they saw this man begging for alms. And Peter said, look on us. And the man gave heed, expecting to receive something of them. And Simon Peter told that man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. And the Bible said that Peter grabbed him by the hand, and immediately his ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. He never had the opportunity to go in the temple before. He never got an opportunity to go to the house of God before. Hallelujah. But when he went to the house of God, he was walking in the house of God. And he was leaping in the house of God. And he was rejoicing in the house of God. And he was praising God because he was walking with God. Say, Brother Coles, you're playing on words again. Hallelujah. I love these words. They're wonderful words of life. Hallelujah. That man didn't have that opportunity, Sister Talley, to come to the house of God. Because he was at the gate beautiful begging for alms. That's all he knew. Hallelujah. But thank God he exchanged all that for a touch from the Lord. So he can come to the house of God and love the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And go to the temple in an hour of prayer. Hallelujah. And love God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to walk with God. We're reading the Bible about a man named Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. But before God took him, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Oh, I want to please my God. Hallelujah. When you're walking with God, you're pleasing God. When you're walking with God, you're doing those things that God loves. When you're walking with God, you're doing those things that God wants you to do. Hallelujah. Read about another man named Noah that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He was a just man, perfect in his generations. And he walked with God. I want to be a man that walks with God. that's a laborer together with God, that loves what God loves. Praise God. There's a scripture in 1 John, if I can find it. Let's see. There it is. 1 John 2. Verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar. You know, John didn't beat around the bush. He didn't sugarcoat it. He just told it the way it is. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him, if we keep His word. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. And He left us an example. Peter said that we should follow in His steps. Hallelujah. I want to walk with God. I want to walk with God. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to walk Him and please my God. I want to keep His commandments. Because when I keep His commandments, I let people know that I know Him. If I don't keep His commandments, I don't know God. And if I tell people I know God and I don't keep His commandments, I'm a liar. But I want to keep His commandments. Isn't it? His commandments are not grievous. They're not hard. To a person that loves God, they're not grievous. To a person that loves their self, it's hard. To a person that hasn't killed their flesh, it's hard. To a person that hadn't knelt down somewhere and said, Lord, not my will but thine be done, it's hard. But to a person that has yielded herself to God and walking with God, hallelujah. I want to be like those servants were when Mary said, whatever He tells you to do, do it. Whatever He tells you to do, hallelujah, you do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to walk with my God. Amen. Praise God. Don't look for me to go where I used to go before, because I don't go there anymore. I found a better way. Don't look for me to say the things I used to say before, because you know what? I don't say them anymore. I found a better way. I found a better way. Brighter paths for my feet. My heart has joy so sweet, I found a better way. And since I found the church, I found a place to pray. And there I found the Lord. I found a better way. Woo, hallelujah. Thank God that I can walk with Him. He wants people to walk with Him. He wants people to communicate with Him. He wants people to love Him. He wants people to follow Him whithersoever He goes. Amen. He wants people to follow in His steps. Amen. The way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Amen. We don't have any
other way outside of Him. We don't have any life outside of Him. We don't have any peace outside of Him. You can find peace in everything this world has to offer. Amen. But my friend, I will keep Him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, for He trusteth in Thee. I want to trust in my God. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. Lord bless you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I thought number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but I can't. Walk without him holding our hands. And I was just thinking as she was singing, Lord, you carry us through so much, so much. Your hand is upon us. And even when we don't realize it, his hand is upon us. When we don't even know that we're in danger, his hand is upon us. Oh God, thank you for this day's service from the very beginning and in the Bible study. Thank you for that, Brother Durham. Thank you for that leprosy. I appreciate that, those thoughts. I appreciate how the Lord is using you, give us these wonderful things that you do. I appreciate it, and I want you to know that I appreciate it. And I appreciate that the Lord brought me here. He brought me here over 30 years ago. And when he brought me here, I didn't know where I was, blind. But he knew where he wanted me. I guess, I don't know if y'all heard my testimony or not, but I came here through Sister Tally. She used to work at Blue Cross, and she invited me here. Well, she started my son to the school that we had, and he was going to school here before I started going to church. And but I'd come and visit sometimes, and I thought, I'd come to this church, but the services are too long. Back there then, it was from 1 to 5. And then we come back for the night service. I thought, oh, that's just too much church. But see, the Lord hadn't really drawn me. He was wooing me. But then on one day, she used to bring my son to school, and her son. I hope they don't mind me telling this, but it's my testimony. And I have to tell it, because it's my testimony. It's what the Lord dealt with me, how he dealt with me and brought me here. But anyway, on this particular morning, it was raining so hard, and I had to get my son over to her house. And I never miss work. You know, I come to work like I do church. But on this particular morning, I saw no way to get him over to her house. I tried,
different ways, but then the thought would come to me, go home. Just go home. Don't go to work today. Go home. And that was in the back of my mind. But I thought, I'm going to get him over there. I'm not going to miss work today. I'm going to get him over there some kind of way. So I was at the corner of her house, and water was just gushing everywhere. And I thought, I can't get over to her house. And one man said, well, just take him on to school yourself. I said, okay, that's what I'll do. Just take him myself. And so I started out, and one man said, go home. Don't go to work today. So I thought, I better go home. I better not go to work today. So I went on home. And that night she called me, and she said, I missed you today. I said, well, I tried to get to your house, but I couldn't. And she told me, well, it was a good thing you did, because JJ drowned. And I knew she couldn't save her own son. How in the world would she have been able to save mine? And through that, the Lord dealt with me. He said, you see, I saved your son. Won't you come to me? And I thought, Lord, I know what I need to do. So I started coming to church. I knew that the Lord told me this is where I needed to be. This is where I'm to meet him. This is where I'm to grow. And I came, and it was different this time when I came. The Lord opened my eyes. He started showing me things. I thought, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do it. I need your help. I need your help. When he started showing me things about myself that I saw, and I knew that I couldn't help myself, that I needed help, I needed him. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Oh God, oh God. And then little by little, kept thinking, well, I could do that. I could make that change. Lord, if you help me, I could do that. And he said, I know. I'm helping you. And it was like a baby walking. You know, you take little bitty steps at a time. Well, I thought, well, I don't have to give that up at once. I can work on that. And so I'd work on that a little bit, and then the Lord would show me something else that I could work on. And I started working on that, and it's gotten me to this point, to where I am in my life. And I know that as we were talking today, Brother Mike Smith was talking today about, was that, yeah, no, where was it? Yeah, this morning, about what you feed on. You are what you eat, even naturally and spiritually. If you watch TV, then you're going to be a product of what you watch. And I thought, Lord, well, I don't have a TV. I have a TV set where I play videos and DVDs, but you can't get TV on it. But, you know, I lost that interest a long time ago. That doesn't bother me to watch TV. Doesn't bother me what's going on in this world, because I have my eyes set on the goal. And I know that if I feed on him day by day. You know, the Lord didn't take my son back there then. But in 1902, I mean in 2009, 1902, I'm telling my age, huh? But in 2009, the Lord saw fit to take him. And you know, my mom, I watched her when she lost her daughter. My sister was 44 when she passed away, and that hit my mom like a ton of bricks. And she could not deal with losing her child. My mom was a Holy Ghost woman, and she, many a time, she'd held revivals in her own front yard, and people would come and get saved. Even one man, young man particularly, at her funeral, he talked about how that she caused him to change his life. But when my sister died, my mom couldn't handle that. I mean, mean, she lost it. Her mind was gone. That's all she could think about was, Laura is gone, isn't she? Laura is gone. And I thought, and when I watched my mom, I thought, Lord, if I ever have to lose my child, I don't want to lose my mind over it. And you know what kept me when my child was taken? That scripture that says, thou would keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Praise Hallelujah.
Praise God.
So I know, I knew then, I know that I had to feed myself with the Word of God. So on my job, you can pass by my desk and listen to my tapes, the scriptures going all the time. I have the scriptures on. When I'm not listening to the scriptures, I have my Bible open reading it. So I don't want to miss it. I mean, if I'm a fanatic, that's okay. It's okay what you call me. It doesn't matter as long as I'm pleasing God. Because he's the one that's going to say, well done. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well done. Glory. Glory. Woo. So it doesn't matter. Come what may. Hallelujah. I know who my Savior is. My Maker. Hallelujah. He made me. He knows all about me. He knows my uprising and he knows my downsetting. He knows what I'm made of. Oh, God. Forgive me, Lord, if I'm not pleasing in your sight, but I'm trying. All that I know how, Lord. As humble as I know how, Lord, I come to you. Whoa! Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I love him today. I love him today. More today, more today, more today. Because I know a little bit more about him today. And he's showing me more. More and more. He's telling me to come up a little higher. I can keep you if you commit it to me, oh God. So I'm trying to commit my life to him because I can't even walk without him holding my hand. The mountain is too high. The valley is too wide. He doesn't expect me to cross it without him. And I don't want to cross it without him. Oh, thank you, Lord. I remember. Remember when my grandma. Oh, God. Woo. I see her kneel down. Kneel down. Kneel down. I watch her granny. In church, they be stumping his feet. Getting that beat going. On the tambourine, that's why I love the tambourine today. Oh, and that tambourine running, going. I thought, Lord, I want to go to a church just like my grandma's. Lo and behold, if he didn't bring me to his best, oh God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So I love him today. And I want to hit the ground running. I've made a vow to the Lord. I thought, Lord, you get me through this, and I'll do so and so, so and so. And I'm trying to hold on to my word. He tests me sometimes, but I don't intend to turn it loose. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, blessed Savior, I love you, Lord. Desire to go on with him, oh God. Thank you.
motorcycle trip this weekend. Went up camping up in the Ozarks, and back roads and twisty roads, and twistier the better. We like them. What scares me is the interstates. So much can happen on the interstate. You go up beside a tractor trailer rig and he blows a retread off and takes you out, or somebody pull over in front of you, or you're following somebody too close and they whip over and there's a big piece of retread there waiting on you. To me, it's a lot more dangerous. We're riding up Interstate 40, and we made it all the way through Conway and all the way through Russellville, and you get on the other side of Russellville, you think you're pretty much through. And so I quit checking my mirrors, and Zach's behind me, and we're doing 75, up there, not going really quick, but I keep watching my mirrors, and all of a sudden I look back there, Zach's gone. We're about Ozark, and so I said, no way. So I keep watching, thinking maybe he's going to pull out behind the tractor trailer rig, and I'm going to see him. And so I whip over, take the Highway 23 exit, loop back around, go up over the overpass, look as far as I can back down the highway. Who's that? Max just disappeared. Oh, Lord. So I go back, and I take another loop. And I'm looking for skid marks and, anything shooting off in the bushes, not really bushes. You're not really bushes on the side of the interstate, but that's what you look for. And I started praying, but at the same time, there was a time when I would have really been frantic. I'd have been going 100 miles an hour and zipping around, crossing the median and this and that. But I had a peace. Like, he's not there, but there's got to be a reason. And, why all of a sudden just expect the worst, that he's, laid up in, underneath the culvert or whatever. And sure enough, after about the second loop, I pulled off there at 23 again and had a text. He'd run out of gas. But he hadn't. Something malfunctioned on his bike. We thought he ran, I guess. So I'm digging through the trash looking for, Coke bottles to fill up the gas to run back around and find him. And anyway, everything turned out to be fine. But I think what struck me is the fact that I never got frantic. Even though it looked like things were, it looked bad for a second. Because you look up and he's not there, and he's been there for, 2 hours behind you. But I thought I would be pretty ungrateful if I didn't stand and give thanks you can say give thanks for little things, but that's a big thing. That could have went directly south pretty quick. But I'm thankful, and I wanted to give thanks for the peace. God keeping his hand over us, but at the same time, even if things do go wrong, that you don't have to freak. I know that Brother Tucker talked, and I think Jaron used this analogy the other night, talked about gave all these students a picture, draw me a picture of what peace is. And they, nice meadows and, beautiful beaches. And one student had a picture of a horrible storm, but in that storm there was a little hole in a tree, and there was a bird inside that tree. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. We can choose what affects us. And I just wanted to give thanks tonight for God keeping his hand over us.
Give thanks for all the good things that the Lord has done for me and for my family, and I'm thankful that I have a mind to give honor to the Lord and to recognize that he's great. He's greater than all. And I remember Brother Watson, I think it was him one time, he said, I got a revelation that there is a God, and I'm not him. And, it doesn't take long for a person to recognize how inferior you know, they are, how weak they may be, or in my case, intellectually challenged. I mentioned this the other night, but really, we're great in the, we're great because God's great. And I was thinking about the children of Israel when they crossed the River Jordan. You know, it must have been pretty amazing there to see the waters parted and just walk, you know, across on dry ground. And I think, I may be wrong on this, but I think, wasn't it Miriam that got out there with a tambourine and, you know, led a troop, you know, with a joyful noise. And, you know, one of the hardest things I've found, I don't, you know, whether it's at home or on my job, even here in church, is when you're going through, you know, a trial or going through a test, going through a hard time, one of the hardest things I've found is to make a joyful noise. And isn't it great that we have, you know, I mean, today we have MP3 files and we've got CDs and we've got the internet and YouTube and, you know, you got iPods and iPhones and Androids and some of you may not know what this is, but Sony Walkmans. And, you know. I don't know if they ever made a portable 8-track player. You know, it's probably about as big as a Volkswagen, but. But isn't it great today? I mean, you can take all these tools that we've got available to us to keep yourself encouraged. You know, Brother Paul, how long have you been driving a truck? 15 years? 20 years? About 13 years? Well, the ability for you to carry media with you, probably your first time you ever took something out was probably a cassette player. And a cassette, you know, and even then you'd have to wait for it for, you know, if it's church service, you know, you might get it right away or you might not. It might, you know, it might take a while, like meetings. You know, you go to a meeting, you come home encouraged, and you wait 6 weeks to get, you know, a copy of the cassettes if you're lucky, and seemed like VHS took even longer than that. But today, if you want, you know, an audio file from our service, you can just go right online. Log in your password and download it to your phone or to your computer or whatever you want to do. You can, we publish all of our songs. Just like tonight's songs, you can pull them up in the morning. I'll finish them. I try to make them iPhone compliant. Now, Brother Smith thinks I do it just for him, but I do it for everybody. No, I'm just kidding. I try to make them iPhone compliant, so I have to tweak them a little bit. But, you know, they're ready a couple hours usually after the service. But here's all these things that we have available to us today that 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you know, people didn't have any of that. They didn't have that convenience to be lifted up with a song or a good testimony or whatever the case may be. And so I feel, you know, I feel privileged. My kids, they, you know, they're giving me lessons now, Brother Daniels, on how to do some of these things. And I can't even imagine what it'll be like when, I would say when I'm old and gray, but I'm already gray. Getting gray, but I'm not old. So when I'm older, I can't even imagine what it'll be like, older and gray. You know, and who knows what we'll have available to us for being encouraged in the Lord. And you know, who knows what we'll be able to rely upon for to hear a good word. You used to hear people say that. What's a good word, brother? And, you know, you don't, oftentimes you don't hear people say stuff like that. And appreciate Brother Mike Smith and his determination to keep us encouraged and not be focused on the negativity that surrounds us in the world, you know. And there are a lot of negative things in the world. And you know, somebody said that the truth does hurt. The truth does hurt, you know, and the truth doesn't always make you free. Sometimes the truth will throw a guy in jail. You know, if the truth, you know, if the dirty truth's on you, it may get you locked up. But I'll say this, I know that any truth that comes from the Lord is going to make me free. And that's my desire. That's what I'm hoping for. It's what I'm counting on. It's what I'm seeking. I want to have a heart for the truth. And, you know, when the truth does hurt, you know, I want to put it in the hands of the Lord. And some things, some things you can't avoid. Sister Watson, when your son passed away, there was no way to avoid that. There wasn't nothing you could do, except you had to go through it. And you know, I watched my mother bury a son when I was just a little boy, and you know, it's something I'll never forget. I'll never forget the look on her face and the anguish and grief. But it was just one of them things. She had a house full of kids, and she just had to bear up under the load. And she had to just get right on through it. And you know, sometimes there's some things in life that you just can't help. There's some things, things that hold us back. There's scars or things from our past that just cannot be avoided. And we just have to work our way through it, don't we? And that's why it's so important for all of us to put on a spirit of charity. And to not be high-minded and haughty and things like that, so that when we are encouraging, that when we're interacting with each other, that we're encouraging one another. There's a word I'm looking for. We're exhorting one another in love and good works. That's what I was looking for. That we're provoking each other to love and good works. That's how it says. So, you know, don't be discouraged if your path or in life is taking you down a wrong road. Don't be discouraged about it. I have shame I bear, things in my past that I have to wrestle with, if you will. Just like the Apostle Paul, he the Bible says that lest he be lifted up in pride, there was given him a thorn in the flesh. And so, you know, I'm not exactly sure what it was so much, but I know this. He said, lest being lifted up in pride. Well, if that, to me, pride would be as big a thorn in the flesh as anything else. If you'll consider that. Just to have to deal with the thought of how great he was and all the power and authority that he had, where he could basically, he had judgment over a man's life. And here he was a great Saul of Tarsus. And he said, lest being lifted up in pride, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. And so he had to bear whatever it was he had to bear to overcome his pride. And, you know, we all, I won't put you in that category, but there's been many times I've had to just submit to the circumstance. I've just had to just relax and let God just, Lord, here am I. And whatever it is, if it's pride or if it's something that needs to be worked out of me, then let it be. I'm still trusting you. Just like Sister Lynette's song, I can't even walk. I don't want to walk without him holding my hand. When we started to move to Little Rock, I had a lot of dear friends and family tell me that they you don't need to move to Little Rock, that you belong up here and stuff like that. And I said, well, I want the Lord's will. That's what I want. It don't matter to me, Little Rock or At the time, it, you know, we were looking at a couple different cities, primarily to, I would say exclusively to work under Brother Leninger. And I said, whatever the Lord's will, that's what I want. I said, don't you? Would you want it any other way? Would you want anything else in God's will? You know, that's the question I asked him. I said, why are you putting this kind of pressure on me? I'm seeking God's will, aren't you? You know, that's how I felt inside. You know, you can tell even now it still gets, you know, I get a little anxiety about it because it's hard for me to understand somebody who wouldn't want to seek the Lord's will in their life. And that's my desire. I want God's will in my life, just like I want God's will in this assembly. And, I want God's will for me and how I work in this assembly. And I hope that you desire the same. And I hope that you'll be encouraged. Paul told him, he said, to quick you like men and be strong. To come alive, if you will, and don't be intimidated by the burdens that we carry or this load, this labor of love that we've been charged with. Don't be weakened by fear and intimidation, thank God. But know this, that the God of heaven is mighty. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that He'll supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. And so there's not one thing that you need that God won't make a way for. Hallelujah. And if He's calling you tonight to follow Him and to serve and to work and labor, then do that. You know, I'm not saying it's going to be a bed of roses, but accept that challenge and recognize that you're a child of the King. My Lord, the Bible says that he owns this may be an old saying. It may not even be in the Bible. I should know that, I guess, but said that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's a part's not in the Bible. It says, and he owns all the potatoes in the hills. It should be, shouldn't it? He owns it all, doesn't he? And there's not anything that he had that we need that he doesn't have. And so be encouraged tonight. I was thinking tonight about Psalms 150 and how significant it is to us. And Sister Joanne, if you would put that Psalms 150 and 1 up there. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Verse 2 says, praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Hallelujah. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Thank the Lord. Let everything that hath breath. Let everything that hath breath. Let everything that hath breath. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. There's none greater, is there? There's none greater than Him. Hallelujah. There's no one greater than Him. Hallelujah. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. That's talking to you and I. Hallelujah. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. There's none greater, is there? Praise His name. Praise His name. Praise His name. There's none greater than Jesus. There's none greater than His Father. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be encouraged, dear saints. We're serving a mighty God. Sure, the world may be full of turmoil and strife. Thank God that we can find a peace. The Bible says, He calls it the peace that passes all understanding. Yes. Oh, it's beyond our comprehension. How is it that a man with a troubled heart and a broken mind can surrender himself to God and be made whole once again? How is it than a man that wallows around in the dirt and acts like an animal one minute can be touched by the hand of God and be found in his right mind. Oh God, the next minute, how is it that somebody can be poor and desolate, have no money and no food, thank God, and the hand of God come down and touch their life, and now they're prosperous, and now they're helping others that are down and out. How is it that somebody can be sick in their body and just feel like they're about to die, and the hand of God come down and just touch them, and suddenly they feel that burden or that sickness leave their body like that little woman, and oh God, and find that healing that she was looking for? How is it that somebody like me that was lost in sin and was following a path of drugs and destruction, that God just one day out of the blue just picked me out of all my buddies, out of all the kids I run around with? How is it that he just reached down his hand and said, here, come here. I've got something a little greater. I've got something that you need. How is it that one day when I was sitting in a Baptist church looking for something more, God was making a path to his door. He was making a path to a little church in Springdale, Arkansas, and above the door said, behold, I set before you an open door. That door was for me. I walked into that little church, and it was as odd as can be. I'd never seen anything like it, but I began to hear something that was different. I began to hear about a gift that God had, that he had set aside for somebody like me. And all I had to do was ask. All I had to do was knock. All I had to do was seek. And he would give it to me. How is that? How is that that many of the kids that I even come into the church with, and we raise our hands and worship together, and I got something that held me, and they didn't. How is that? I don't understand all these things. It's a peace, but I have a peace about it. I have a peace that it's beyond my comprehension. I don't understand. I trust the Lord. My brother, I've told this before. I'll tell it again. I think it's fitting. My brother died when I was 5 in a single car accident, and he was my favorite. There's 11. My mom raised 11 kids, and I had 4 brothers. And so I had, 4 to choose from, and he was my favorite. And I didn't understand. And they'd tell me, well, he went to heaven. He went to heaven. He went to heaven with Granddad. That's what they always told me. I didn't understand any of that. Well, if it's so great, I want to go. That's what I thought. One day I jumped out in front of a car. I thought, if it's so great, I'm going. And thankfully, that car missed me, and I'm here to tell you the story. But I never got peace about it. Until one night I was in my bedroom, and Brother Kraft and I just had a dream. I didn't ask for it. I mean, maybe I did. I don't remember. I just had a dream. It's like a vision, like my brother just walked in the room. He said, I'm all right. I'm all right. Man, I got a peace. It's beyond my comprehension. I can't explain it. I can't give it to anybody. There's no formula for something like that. There's no formula for even salvation. I can't get a formula that says, okay, if you're a drug addict, then this is what you need to do. If you're a prostitute, this is what you need to do. If you're an alcoholic, there's no formula for stuff like that. There's steps. There's things you can do. There's good habits place in your life. There's strength to be found in the Word of God and the Spirit. There's tools that we can arm ourselves with. But the fact that God, just in his amazing grace, just reached down his hand and touched me and just pulled me up out of that miry condition that I was in and just changed my life. And, you couldn't tell me different. People, I talk to people that are atheists all the time. and I feel sorry for them. But they would never convince me. Brother Daniels, I know different because I know where I was. I know the path I was going down. And I know this. I know what the end of what happened to my buddies. You know, jail, and prison, and death, sorrow. I know what they got. I know where the path that I was on led to. But God had mercy on me. He's had mercy on all of us. He's given us an opportunity here tonight. And it says, let everything that hath breath. Now, think about that. Now, my dog, when I get home, my dog practically beats me with her tail. She's so happy. She's just happy to see me. And she it's funny. This dog, you can, now when I go to work, this dog don't even bat an eye. She just is sound asleep. She might raise her head off her pillow. But when I come home, she's just so excited to see me. But, you know, I don't think that scripture was talking to my dog about praising the Lord. I don't think that scripture was talking to, you know, the cows and the lions and the tigers. I don't think that scripture applies to them. Well, he sure can. He talked through a donkey and, you know, stubborn mule like me. But it said, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. That takes something. That takes something that you've got to do. You've got to praise. You've got to make a decision. You've got to make a conscious decision. He's the Lord. You've got to decide that no matter what in your life, no matter what comes your way, no matter what circumstances may be upon you, that you've got to make it a conscious decision that the very breath that you have is because of Him, and He's the Lord. Praise Him. Praise Him with the timbrel. Sister Watson, praise Him with that timbrel. Praise Him in a dance. Praise Him with the trumpet and string instrument. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He loves you tonight. He loves you more than anybody else does. I promise you that. I tell my kids, I said, I love you. I said, I'm going to tell you something. I love you, and your mama loves you. And there's probably nobody else in the world that loves you like we do, except for Jesus, and He loves you more. And how do you explain that? You can't, brother. You just can't explain that. You can't explain the love of God like that. It passes my understanding. But I want you to know I'm thankful for it. Praise Him tonight. Be encouraged. Don't let the cares of life and the things that are, you know, the negative surroundings. I'm telling you this for my benefit. Let's not let it hold us down. Let our own insecurities and inferiorities hold us back. This is our house. This is where we come to worship the Lord. This is the opportunity that God's provided for us. It's not, you know, it is for others that the Lord would bring. And I welcome them, and I'm thankful for all of God's people. I believe that. We should make it welcome for all of God's people. But this is for us. This when this piano is this piano sitting here, when the piano leaders strikes a note on that piano, that's for you. When somebody lets out, a holler or a message in tongues, that's for us. Yes. When Brother Smith gets up here and delivers the Word of God for us and makes it alive and lays it out to where we can understand, that's for us. It's for us. It's not just for somebody outside these doors. It's for us. Make use of your opportunity and your time here and help me if there's something I can do to help you. That's what I want to do. If there's something that, I recognize that there's always something we can do to improve. And we're trying. We're trying to do those things. And we don't always tell you. And we make adjustments and things like that. We don't always tell you about it. But we're trying to make it more comfortable for you or more appealing to you so that you can set aside all those other things that hinder you, that bother you, that hold you back. and you can get your mind focused and girded up on the Lord. Praise the Lord. Aren't you happy to be in the house of God tonight? I am. Wow. What a wonderful opportunity we have. Hallelujah. Let everything, that's you and me, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
Oh, you can sing a song.
Thank you, Lord. Well, let's take this home with us. Brother Cole brought some more peanut brittle. And don't forget, Saturday night, the singing. What time is the singing?
It's
7 o'clock Saturday night. Be praying for the folks in Brandon Wine. Praying for Brother Smith and Brother Pryor. Keep your hand up on them. That God will keep his hand up on them. So let's thank God for this night. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name. Bless your people. Hallelujah. Oh.